I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR. Sports Radio 550.
Oh, that's what this game tonight needs. That level of enthusiasm and energy from the fans. Bring it! Sabres and Canadians, the opener tonight. Let's talk about it. Travis Yost, our friend from TSN, Bills fan as well. Got to get some time in on the Bills. I mean, maybe a lot. I don't know. But it's been a while since we've talked to Travis. Always a pleasure. Thanks for being on, Travis.
Of course. Looking at this Sabres lineup, it might be a lot anyway.
Might be a lot. Well, Jack Eichel, of course, isn't in it. And there's a report, that little video I've just watched from ESPN, Emily Kaplan, on how there was some thought that maybe a trade was about to happen last week. And everybody seemed to think, she says, that it was close, but there was no trade. And she says that five teams are still interested and have the cap room to make it work. I don't know what you know, Travis. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just, of course, would want to hear your thoughts on how you think this is going, or where or how you think it might be ending.
Well, I think it is ending because there's an important piece of context in everything you just said, which is those five teams. I mean, how I watched the same exact snippet from Emily, and the way I interpreted it was those five teams would be willing to support the artificial disc replacement, which seems to be the sticking point here. So not only do you have teams still interested, they're also interested in accordance with what the player wants to do. And on top of that, the one challenge the Sabres are going to have here, though, is those are a bunch of tailwinds and favorable to trading Jack. But the reality is it is now October, whatever day it is, of 2020, because that year's never ended. And a lot of these teams don't have cap space anymore. And that's the reality. So it's either going to be a money-in, money-out type of deal. We already know Buffalo is going to have to eat salary from elsewhere. But when you look at teams, and I'll just pick two, when you look at Boston, you look at Vegas, I mean, they both have been interested in Jack Eichel. They are both contenders. I would say Vegas is a Stanley Cup contender. There is a legitimate need, especially for Vegas down the middle of the lineup, but you could argue as a Bergeron replacement, the same for Boston. I do think this is coming to an end, though, because of that of the prior medical point, which is if teams are going to support this, and there is enough group of teams, we have five now, that would be theoretically vying for a player like Eichel. To me, Buffalo has now situated themselves to basically say, give us your best offer, and we're going to carry it from there and get this thing done. I don't see any other way that this resolves at this point, because everything else is at impasse. But if these teams are now supporting the treatment and they're willing, and Buffalo is willing to take on some salary, I actually do think it's going to come to a close here in the next week or two.
Well, they definitely have to take on some salary if they trade Eichel, Travis. He's not on a long-term IR at this point.
Right.
So they're well below the floor if they lose that $10 million cap hit. The thing that's always kind of scared me about getting to this point, you know, the regular season has begun. It does involve the money, because obviously a team that needs to clear room is, you know, they'd like to trade away their lousiest contracts probably, But even those guys might be still viewed as contributors on some level for a contending team. And if you're trading for Eichel, you're looking at a guy who, best case scenario, isn't playing until, what, after the Olympics? Or maybe just before that? I mean, there's going to be a rehab period, even though it's a lot shorter with the artificial disc replacement. You're still acquiring a player for a big salary and sending out players for someone who is not going to be available to you for at least a couple of months. And that would be problematic for a contending team.
It's a really good point, and it's why I should have at the top had denoted this. I think you said it really well, but I think it's what puts a team like Anaheim in a pretty good spot, because in the situation of Anaheim, not only can they absorb his contract, but Buffalo needing to take on money, to your point, Anaheim can move some of that salary and really quell this concern of, well, we have got to contend for a postseason berth or something more meaningful immediately this season. Like, that's not Anaheim's timeline, right? Contrast that with, again, Vegas. If you look at Vegas, I mean, you've got a lot of players making somewhere between $4 and $7 million. Most of these players have split no trade clauses. They may have an 8-list, 18-list, a 10-team list. You can assure that Buffalo is on the majority of those lists, considering where that franchise is right now. But think of a logical player that would fit in Buffalo, would make sense in Buffalo, has the salary, is still highly valuable. William Karlsson. How much better is Vegas if they have some sort of trade package that includes William Karlsson going out with Jack Eichel coming in, and he still needs his work done? So I think, to your point, it does put teams like Vegas in a bit of a bind there, because you start going down cap prey and lane. It's like, look, I only have a certain number of choices here in terms of moving salary, and teams that have been relatively well managed, Boston, Vegas, two good examples. They don't have just dead salary that they can throw into a deal and then say, okay, we're going to bury you with high-end draft picks. That's just not going to be the case. In the case of a couple of these teams, they've traded away some of their future. So that part is tricky, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I was waiting to get to Anaheim. Like, what do you think return-wise? You just said, get your best offer on the table and we'll manage it from there. Like, does – at this point, given that the season has begun and you're talking about a player who's going to be out for at least some period of time, a couple of months conservatively, maybe speaking, are the Sabres to be expected to land a Zegras or a Drysdale or anybody's top guy in return in this trade now? Or is it ship sailed, you think?
Yeah, it's even interesting when you look at Anaheim, too, because if you're – again, you can define top guys two ways. You can say top blue-chip prospects, or you can say high-end, NHL players. I think Buffalo has an interest in both, right? And I go to two names on the Anaheim roster, right? Rickard Rakell and Hampus Lindholm. Well, Buffalo would have a dramatic need for Rakell as a scoring winger, right? And he could play both sides. A player like Lindholm is a first-pairing defenseman at the NHL level. He's on a $5.5 million deal right now. I mean, these are players that make Buffalo better. There's no two ways around it. But here's another problem. Both of them are signed through one more year and are going to hit unrestricted free agency. You start looking at that and you're like, well, maybe that doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a player like Sam Steele, who's got 1 year left and he's a restricted free agent at the year end. Okay, maybe Buffalo heads in that direction. And how highly you regard Steele as a player, that may vary. I mean, he's 23 years old at this point in his career, at once considered a blue-chip prospect, but how does Buffalo value that? I'm not sure. But I do think what you're doing, and you guys have done well, is spell out the problem here for Buffalo, which is if you can't pick, you're not going to be able to have it all, right? So you're either going to have dead contracts and futures. You're going to have players with contracts where they may have a ward or two. Maybe it doesn't have the length on the contract that you would like, or a player, may have a no-move clause that you're going to have to get him to waive. And that is the part that makes where you sympathize a little bit with Buffalo's front office, because navigating through that minefield is some kind of a task. But again, this is why this needed to happen earlier in the offseason, when there was way more roster flexibility across the entirety of the NHL. That just doesn't exist right now. A lot of these teams are cap constrained. And if they're not cap constrained, they're roster constrained. So I still think the pressure is on Buffalo at a maximum level to get this thing done. And I, if I'm reading between the lines, I still think it gets there. But I do think from just a merely educational exercise, as you start naming these teams, it's like, oh, yeah, Boston and Vegas and Anaheim and Seattle. And it's like, you know, putting Seattle aside for a second because of the uniqueness, most of these teams are challenged on either we don't have enough talent or we have a lot of talent, but it's all tied up in the cap, or we have that, but we traded away some of our futures. So, you know, it's a very difficult environment for Buffalo to navigate, and it's going to be that way really until the trade deadline at a minimum or until next offseason. I just don't see this getting that far.
Travis Yost with us. We all want it over soon, I think. The team we have, right? Like, you know that these guys deserve that. These guys deserve closure on the Eichel thing because, you know, Paul Hamilton told us yesterday, Montreal media come to town and that's who they want to talk about. And you have some very young players here who really shouldn't have to say too much about that or have to talk about him every day. So what about the team we've got, Travis? I mean, you know the league so well. Are there hidden gems here, or is it, you know, hold your breath?
I think it's mostly going to be hold your breath this year, and here's why. I even to the extent that you're looking, I am really excited for another season of Victor Olsen or Dylan Cousins breakout year. Or, I mean, you can go down the lineup and probably pick 2, 3, 4 players where you see a lot of upside. On the other hand, I go back to organizations that have successfully rebuilt, and I mean when they rebuilt, they were at the depths of a rebuild. Now, Buffalo's taken it to an extreme, but again, we've seen big rebuilds in Arizona, Edmonton, Ottawa, St. Louis. I mean, we've seen the gamut. And usually the high-end players that manifest themselves, first they're able to break even on really bad teams, and then as the team improves around them, you're like, oh, yeah, he's a star, right? It almost is like a Terry McLaurin feel in Washington, right, where you can kind of see a terrible roster that's now quietly, you know, inching towards mediocrity. And it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's maybe a top 10 receiver in the league now. Now I see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the problem in Buffalo, though, because, you know, the same way a rising tide lifts all boats, it works in both directions. And, I mean, just look at this team. I mean, comprehensively, from the top man on the roster all the way down to 23, including a goaltending tandem of Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell, like, you can't look at this lineup and say they do this thing well, right? Like, there's no reason to be confident about the penalty kill. They don't have the shooting talent for the power play. At 5-on-5, that top six is going to get absolutely crushed. I mean, like, I'm curious to see, like, hey, have they figured something out here with Tage Thompson? Will he play in the middle for an extended period? Does that position make more sense for him? Like, there are plenty of storylines and plenty of reasons to follow this team, but, like, let's just be honest, right? They're going to get bludgeoned for the most part of this year. And what you're really looking to see is those 2 to 3 to 4 younger players, you know, sprinkled throughout the lineup, maybe something that comes back as part of the Jack Eichel trade. Are these guys giving the individual performance that would indicate as the team improves over a period of time, these are the guys that are going to be able to carry, you know, carry the weight of this organization? I compare that literally. I mean, this morning, Brady Tkachuk signs a 7-year, $8.5 million average annual contract. Well, you know what? Brady Tkachuk follows that story almost to a T, right? When the team was absolutely abysmal, he looked good. The team was pretty bad last year, but a little bit more competitive in the Canadian division, and Brady Tkachuk was starting to look really good. And I think, you know, as part of their rebuild, which is further along, they see, yeah, we're still young, we're still undermanned, top six is going to have trouble, but now we've got a top line of young playmakers, and I even said this yesterday, I'm like, look at the top line that Ottawa's going to dress. It's young. It's super fast. Like, they're going to have their problems, especially on the defensive end, but you can see the buildup. You can see a path forward. I just think Buffalo is so far in the gutter right now at this part of the rebuild, or whatever phase of the rebuild they're in at this point, because who knows? It started and stopped so many times already. I mean, there is upside on the roster. I just think it may be very difficult to see. And the goaltending, I mean, let's just be honest, like, barring a miracle, the goaltending has a real chance of sandbagging this team in a bad way, and I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Right. Yeah, you can insert Tokarski for Dell, by the way. He beat Dell out. Dell's in Rochester. Well, he was waived. I don't know that I even actually saw that he got assigned to Rochester, but I always assumed he would end up there. But that aside, I mean, whatever. One for the other. How about Dylan Cousins and all of this? Like, that would be a guy, Travis, that I think a lot of fans – we're excited about last year. Maybe not always for the best reasons, but still, he seems like he fits the profile of someone that we can get behind. I'm a little worried about him being over his head, just from a matchup standpoint on this team. And maybe that's a reason that they moved Tage Thompson into center ice, is to try to avoid doing what I think they did to Casey Mittelstadt a couple years ago when Ryan O'Reilly was traded and they really had no better alternative. It was like, okay, you're our number two center, and it's taken him until last year to sort of stabilize his NHL career. What do you think, Cousins? How do you think he's tracking?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's clearly the player to watch on this lineup, right? Like, is he the best player today? No, but he's by far the player with the most upside. Like, and you could say, hey, you know, there's any range of, again, 2 to 6 players on this lineup that are 25 and under right now that you see real upside with. I do worry about the insulation piece. And again, the Cousins thing is the Brady Tkachuk example from 2 years ago. You look around and it's like, hey, man, I don't really even know where you are in your trajectory at this point, being so early in your career, but I can already be confident in telling you you're going to be the best player on your line. Like, that's not a great recipe for success. And the Mittelstadt thing, it's really interesting you brought that up, right? Because, you know, I think that is exactly what happened with Casey Mittelstadt. And yet, look at the lineup that they're going to dress right now, and look at the role Casey Mittelstadt is going to have to play on this team. I mean, there is a world where he is the first line center on this team right now. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that story has really ended necessarily. And either way, he is going to get regular top 6 minutes. And, like, we've seen bursts of really, you know, high-end creativity and playmaking the same way we did in this, at more junior levels for Mittelstadt. But, like, you know, defensively, it's always felt awkward. The diminutive frame has clearly hindered him a little bit in a way that, you know, you were hoping that would not be the case, that you could insert a super small, super agile player who can play make in tight space. Like, you see bursts of that, but not the way that he had shown it in prior levels. And again, like, this Buffalo team, like, there may be zero expectations in the lineup, but I am telling you right now, like, Casey Mittelstadt's going to play top 6 minutes, and Tage Thompson is too, and it's likely Dylan Cousins will at some point. And whatever they end up doing with these lines and how they intermix them, like, there isn't going to be any insulation, because the first line in Buffalo is going to see mostly the first line around the league. They are going to be massively undermanned. And the same thing is true basically as you continue down the lineup. So I don't know how they insulate a player like Cousins other than saying, hey, Mittelstadt and maybe even Thompson, we're going to absolutely throw you to the wolves and let our third line at 14 minutes a night at even strength have a fighting chance. Like, maybe that's the plan. The more you talk it out loud, the less sensical it sounds. And unfortunately, that's where the Sabres are right now. You've got a chessboard with no chess pieces, and you're still trying to play the game of chess. It's a big, big challenge here. And again, there's pockets on this roster where you're interested, you're excited, you're curious to see if there's going to be growth, but, like, the team at a whole, at a macro, is really going to struggle because all of these undermanned positions are going to create a compound effect on one another. I don't have enough forwards, so the puck is constantly in my zone. I don't have the goaltending, so when the puck is in my zone, instead of 91% of the time, it's 90% of the time going to be stopped. Stuff like that eventually just becomes death by a thousand paper cuts for a team.
Travis, you've always been so generous with your time to us. If I feel like this time, if we didn't ask you something about the Bills, you'd have the right to get mad and just, like, that, cut us off. That's the last time I'm going on their show. Maybe the best time ever to be a Bills fan. I mean, Bulldog and I were here for the Super Bowls, and Bulldog left and came back, but we're both kind of lifers, and those were obviously great days. But man, right now, like, this is a superior team. They're killing everybody. Pretty good.
It was, let me just say, how vindicating, what a great feeling. Oh, the schedule's weak. It doesn't mean anything that they're beating teams by 40. And that, like, anyone who's done any sort of quantitative analysis in sports will tell you that is one of the dumbest talking points. Just because the Houston Texans and Washington are subpar teams, and because Miami has no offense, the point differential absolutely matters. Like, you cannot beat a team by 40 points in the NFL easily. I know this. You know this. We all know this because we watched Buffalo on the other end of it for how many years? And it was like, yeah, they aren't competitive. This New England is that good. And to me, everything you said is true, and it makes me so – I am so fascinated to see what happens on Monday night, because Tennessee is the other team that watched them last year, and it was a clunky game, and the Titans didn't play for like a month, and there was that massive COVID sick out. The Titans rolled them up, and there was a lot of reasons why that were the case, but – if Buffalo goes into Tennessee, and I don't think this is a referendum of anything, but if Buffalo goes into Tennessee and wins with back-to-back wins against Tennessee and Kansas City, with the record that they would have, a 5-1, I think they'd have probably a 2-3 chance at the number one seed at that point in the AFC. Like, it's not even a maybe at that point, right? Like, this would be the highest flying this team has been since really the early 90s. And I kind of want to see it on a, even on a personal level, because that Tennessee Kansas City two week stretch last week was ugly. And, even though we can discount a lot, like, Tennessee still has four guys that scare the hell out of you on offense, and they create problems. I don't care how good your defense is. So I do think the Monday night game is another big test. The offense should roll on that defense, but I think the defense is going to have another big challenge. I don't know. It sounds like both receivers are going to play this.
Yeah,
week.
It does.
So this is going to be this is a playoff caliber opponent on the road on Monday night. And I think, between this and the lull really to the Tampa Bay game, that's really the soft part of the schedule. But it's a big game. They win. There's no other way to say it. They are flying as high as you possibly could.
Sure seems that way. Travis Yost of TSN. Always a great conversation. Thank you, Travis. Enjoy the season.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Enjoy it as well.
All right. Both seasons, I guess. All right. We've got some more Sabres talk, and then the game tonight, pregame at 6. Paul Hamilton then. Also, along the way, John Clayton coming up. Now's a good time if you've got a question or a comment, 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think trying to be aggressive is kind of sort of how we want to play. Obviously, it's sort of how our systems are kind of designed, and you want to try and take advantage of some of the guys we have on the team that are pretty good skaters. And in order to do that, we have to be aggressive. We have to be on our toes. And it's just sort of how we're going to get the best result out of ourselves.
Jeff Skinner, remember him? The Sabres home to Montreal, game one of 82 tonight. What did you take away from, before you might be ready to say something else, I was eager to hear you talk about some of the things Travis said.
Well, I mean, I think, it just confirms what I think there is to be worried about. I mean, the starting, with the goaltending and working your way out, I think that they're going to be overmatched a lot, I don't know, how much to expect out of. I asked him about Cousins because I've been, you probably can tell, and maybe some of our audience can tell, I'm not worried. Paul said it very well yesterday, I thought. On the overall, I'm not worried about him. I think he's got plenty of talent. to be a nice NHL player, but he's not a superstar. You know, he was not projected to be that, nor do I think he's going to end up being that. I think he's a very, very good player on a good team, slotted appropriately. And I just worry that he's going to be a little over his head and that pressure is going to mount and that he's going to feel it, you know, that he's used to performing as one of the best guys on his team. And I think that's going to be hard for him to do here this year, given their lack of real depth. So I just, you know, I think it's going to be tough for a lot of guys. Like, even the guys you're excited about, I think, can get run over if your team overall is overmatched. And I think you look at this roster and hold it up against a lot of other rosters in the league, and you can expect, I think, a good deal of being overmatched. You know, we'll see. Maybe they'll be better overall defensively because of their team speed and because everyone's really dug in and committed or something. And so, like, that won't be as much of a concern as I'm thinking it's going to be right now. I think still the goaltending, I just don't know where you're going to go there. And then who's going to score goals on this team?
Well, those are the two. I think their defense will be better because of their lineup than last year. I think their blue line is a little bit better, or it could be, than last year. But, right, up top to bottom in the forwards, you know? Like, top to bottom. Up top, you just doesn't measure up. It probably doesn't measure up. And then right. All the way to the bottom, I mean, Eakin's still here. Eakin still being here is another one of these, like, is this thing on kind of.
Yeah, right.
Like, just.
Yeah, I mean, why not claim the guy from Tampa that went to
Seattle? Of course, of course.
Right? And just plug him in and send Eakin on his way. And if the guy from Tampa, forgive me, I don't remember his name. Last name's Barr, I think. He was, you know, he was waived last week. And a lot of people who pay attention to, you know, value in the league were, you know, this guy could be sneaky good. Plug him in. If it doesn't work, well, whatever. You already know Eakin is not a part of anything moving forward here. He shouldn't be playing on any kind of a half-decent NHL team, so why bother? Like, go try a different guy. And they didn't even, you know, they didn't see fit to do that, so I don't know what the explanation for that would be.
I have a guess. It would, you know how teams value experience. It's probably a lot of why he was brought in already. You know, he was a provably deficient player before the Sabres acquired him, right? So they were acquiring somebody they should have known was going to be a drag on their results, and he was. So, you know, surprise. But why would you want a player like this? You want sort of the locker room stuff, and they have Gergensen still here. They have Eakin here. Oposo, of course. Like, I think they probably value that because every team seems to value that.
Yeah.
And while, especially when you're in this situation and you're trying to have young players become pros and deal with probably a lot of losing. So, you know, you could go wrong there, but if we're going to lose anyway, in the way that teams seem to always prioritize that, it might have been especially important to the Sabres. I want to give them some benefit of the doubt because they made a couple of really interesting, cool hires in the front office this year. So I want to be optimistic about how you'll see certain changes in the kind of players they bring in. But that really, in this case at least, like, there's still not a lot of that. You still want to see more of that. And they weren't really busy at just sort of scrambling and shuffling. Like, I would want them to be in this condition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I it's fun. You know, we heard Skinner. I was thinking about him and that we didn't get around to asking Travis about him specifically. But, like, where are the goals going to come from? I mean, I know what the last 2 years have looked like. And it's not all how he was used, all right? But I think that's some of it. So for anyone who's been clamoring for him to get opportunities, now he's not going to play with Jack Eichel because that, you know, that's not available to the Buffalo Sabres anymore. And so here we are. But he's going to get minutes, I would think. Like, he's the most accomplished scorer they've got on this team. And so he goes in as the number one winger on their top line. And I don't know, like, if they're going to surprise anyone, at all and not be the very worst team in the league and maybe one of the worst teams we've ever seen, there's a place to start. Like, I need 30 goals. And I know that sounds like a pipe dream, considering he hasn't even totaled 30 the last 2 years. But that's what I need him to get back to the form he was in before he got here, and then, of course, that first year where he peaked with 40 goals. And I don't know that that can't happen. I mean, guys on bad teams score goals. You know, you get goals.
Skinner is proof.
Yes, right.
His whole career.
Yes. So, you know, I don't know. That's a lot to heap on him, but the opportunity will be there. I mean, he deserves, and I would assume will get. I say deserves because of his track record. I mean, who else are they going to expect to score goals for them? Who else are they going to expect to play on the power play? I mean, have you looked at the power play lineups for this team? I mean, it's going to be tough. So he'll get opportunity that, you know, he didn't get because he wasn't dug in defensively or not enough or something for Ralph Kruger. So that's going to happen. I would think it's going to happen unless he somehow works his way. We don't know how big or how frequent guys will visit Don Granato's doghouse. I don't think we ever had a real doghouse moment last year with him in the games he coached. But he's here for a full year. And so hopefully Skinner can avoid Granato's doghouse.
I'd like a couple of things from that. I'd like doghouse moment to become a phrase. And I would like Don Granato's doghouse to be a Twitter account somehow.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe it's empty or just a couple of people in it. Who knows what's in it? I've just drawn a house on my note. Just as I said that, I just realized I just drew a house. Next to the words, Don Granato's doghouse. I would eat there. I would go to a place called Don, like Rob's place.
Right.
I would go to a Don Granato's doghouse. But you'd hope to be able to get out.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be living there.
You don't want to be stuck there permanently.
No.
Stationed there permanently.
It's a bad place to be.
You don't want the door locked behind you.
Although I don't know if doghouse for him, I mean, you know, the nickname is Meatballs, so I don't know. You know, I guess you could make a meatball bomber or something. I don't know.
Don's doghouse. Is anybody in it? Is anybody ever going to be in it? We'll see. So, see that the Mets wish the Sabres luck?
Yeah, I did see that right before we started, or just since we started, whatever. I just scrolling through, and is that what? What is that exactly? They're not television, right? They're not television partners, are they? The Mets are SNY, and the Sabres are MSG.
The only thing I can think of is that the Sabres played there in that Winter Classic. But so what? Like, I don't know. You don't follow any team accounts. There's just no reason to ever do that. Some of them get credit for being funny, like the Hurricanes maybe were funny. A couple times, but just come on.
The Flyers get there with Gritty. Like, whenever they... Like,
follow Gritty, then.
Gritty's a win every time. Yeah, I mean, but...
Come on. It's so meaningful anyway.
Sure.
Good luck. Yeah. All right, let's get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Bond, Schenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. We have Chris with us. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Okay, Chris, thanks for calling us. We appreciate it.
I just have zero faith going forward that they can get this whatever number rebuild we're on. And I'd just like to say the choice of the two captains, to me, sums it up that nothing's going to change. You have two horrific underachievers in both of the alternate captains, way overpaid, and they praise these guys because they own homes in the community. I've never heard an organization say anything more stupid than that, as far as that being part of a reason to name a captain. Both of these guys should have been cut loose. They're horrific at their salaries. I mean, they're terrible for $750,000, let alone their salaries. It's just nonsense.
The Sabres said something about – what are you referring to? They said something about that they are homeowners?
Yes.
Yeah, they both own homes in the community.
Oh yeah,
They like it here. They're part of the community.
Thank you. I mean, Oposo, we all know, veteran.
Yeah.
Of course, the contract is. It's just not going to be about that. I don't care at all who the captains are. I never do. I don't care at all.
I mean, Oposo gets the gig. Look, I'm not here to poke holes in what the caller said. I mean, he's not been an effective player, period. And the salary is hard to look past. But you know, he gets the gig for the person he is. You know, within the room, like you just said it earlier. Why do teams keep veterans around? You know, they want to have someone that they at least feel like they can trust to do things the right way. And from everything I know about Oposo, he checks all those boxes. So
sure.
That's not to defend, you know, his still being here necessarily or his play. But if he's going to be on your team, I have no problem with him wearing a letter.
This team calls for a dinner bet. So I have that dinner bet. Well, this is one of my favorite things in life. I made a bet with Glenn Macnow in Philadelphia 4 years ago. We were at a Phillies game together, and I said, how many guys on this field for the Phillies, playing tonight, dressed tonight for the Phillies, will be with them without having left and come back for their next postseason game? And then before I even like thought about it, I was so excited about, so happy with myself with that thought that I'm like, mm-hmm. over under one half. I basically offered Glenn, make the playoffs isn't even necessarily that good. It's pretty good, at least. One guy on the team is on the team when they make the playoffs next, he wins. So, of course, I'm a huge underdog. Like, why did I just blurt out one half? Let him think about it, at least. Maybe he'll come up with a number like eight, and then I'll say, deal. No, I just said one half. If one guy on the team is on, but funny thing. That's 4 years ago, and they have not made the playoffs yet. Last year, eight teams made the playoffs in each league. They missed. They kind of, every year, have been like a little bit interesting, and then they fall apart. So it's still live. And I think there are four guys left. Nola is the big one. Like he signed. When he signed, I thought I was in like further trouble. Like he's going to be there a long time, but he wasn't very good. So it's down to four. Now, with this Sabre roster, I would not say one half. Because the teams make the playoffs. It's not even, again, necessarily that good. Doesn't mean you're that good. It means you're okay, at least. But how many guys on this roster are still like continuously with the Sabres when they're next in the playoffs? It's not going to be, like, I would not say one half here either. Like, that is not.
No.
That's
no,
not where the line should be.
It's not going to be a real big number, I don't think.
Would it be six? Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe three.
I really don't know. You know what gives me pause? I'm right to thinking about Dahlin. And he's got a 3-year contract that walks him he just signed Sam Reinhart's contract. Figuratively speaking. Like he's walking up to the year before he can be a UFA is when he's an RFA next. And that's exactly where Reinhart was this offseason. So, like, you'd want it, like, at Dahlin's age, and he just signed. Well, sure, he'll be around when they make the playoffs. Well, year one, gone, we think. I mean, we'll see, okay? Give him a chance. Tonight's opening night. But who's optimistic about the Sabres' 10-year playoff drought ending this year? Very few people. So that's year one. So now you're into year two. And are things going to be that much better next year? I mean, maybe the pieces I get in the Eichel trade eventually, okay, I don't know. But if this team is still, when you get to Dahlin's third year, spinning their wheels, guess what we're talking about if we all still work here? When do I have to trade him? I mean, his feelings have a lot to do with that. You know, this is a particularly negative thought.
You know what?
One that right after a guy signs a contract, people bring to us, and I don't want to take the question because it's so negative. But this is what they've done to me. I'm worried that I'm walking Dahlin up to where he's got power as an RFA if he doesn't want to sign a long-term commitment.
There is another way to do it. There actually, if you are not, we have to get to a break here, but if you are not super high on his future, you trade him now. Because somebody is. I mean, somebody will be now. Instead of getting leveraged like that, like they always seem to do, you know, just how much lower? What are you worried about? Yeah. Oh, it's, they trade Darlene for whatever tonight. Like, oh, the crowd's going to be small. Like, just, you know, you could do that now. But I don't know. Maybe they are still super optimistic about his future. I don't think they need to be, though, in terms of the fans. Like, it would be, it might be a sharp move that I would certainly, you know, I'm not going to sit here and expect it. John Clayton coming up at 5, Sabres pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Come join me at the Rocket Mortgage Pro Football Pick'em Contest. $1,000 up for grabs every week. Week 6 begins tonight, so now's a good time. Text PICKS to 20357. Then just pick the winner of each week's games. You don't need to worry about the spreads. It's not fantasy, so there's no lineup or anything like that. Totally free. $1,000 up for grabs each week. Text PICKS to 20357 and join me at the Rocket Mortgage Pro Football Pick'em Contest. John Clayton coming up. Let's talk to Chris quickly here first. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if at this point in the season it might be advantageous to hold on to Eichel so that the team that trades for him could then, you know, toss him right on long-term IR and, you know, evade the salary cap like the Lightning did last year.
Would you have to wait to do that? I mean, couldn't a team have that strategy at this point?
Yes,
so
is the answer to that.
Is there? Could they do that right away? Timing? Well, they have to have him on their cap for a day or whatever.
I don't know. He's out for months. So he. Yeah. What do you have, Bulldog? Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say I don't know whether you can just go right to LTIR after the trade, or if you have to demonstrate that you've got room for the play. I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. That's all.
So yeah. The real question is, do we have to take bad money back, I guess, at this point, or could he just go right on LTIR?
They would have to take some money back. My understanding is because of the floor, they'd be under the floor. His money is counting on their cap so that they
they get to the floor.
They'd have to take on some, what is it, like $5 million, something like that. We'll check that, Chris. But they would have to take some money back to be compliant. All right. Thank you, Chris. John Clayton coming up. Bulldog, you ready? Boom, 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 back forth. Hockey, football.
I'm totally comfortable.
You've done it before.
This has been an ideal day, you know, aside from the tenor of the conversation about the Sabres.
You're having a great day. Fine. Beautiful outside.
Yeah.
Will John Clayton call the Bills? Will he say yes to the question that the Bills are the best team in the league? Or will he say something like, maybe the team playing tonight deserves to be called that?
Yeah, right. I would predict
the Eagles. Maybe he'll think the Eagles are the best team in the league. I don't know. Somebody probably does. Time out here. John Clayton after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.